And we are live. Boom. Wednesday, June 10th. Hello, everybody. Coming at you fresh after my first work shift in about 7 months. Jesus Christ, what a doozy. Now, I did not think people were going to want to go out to eat after all this COVID-19, after all this corona stuff, right away at least. And the restaurant that I work at had to wait today for lunch. Just for our outdoor seating, I don't know, we had like 15 tables up there. And it was packed. And I was stoked. It was a great day. A lot of, I had to wear mask and gloves the whole time, which was crazy. I was sweating about 20 seconds into the shift. Other than that, the shift went overall pretty well, I would say. I'm not going to give it an A+. Got a little rusty, I'm not going to lie. Had to give it a lot of fake smiling, but the mask covering your mouth and the customers not being able to see your facial expressions, very key. Very, the one beneficial thing to the mask. Because I don't think it really helps health-wise, at least from what I've read. And with that, though, we got to get to the UFC Fight Island being real. I was way off on this. Uncle Dana White, he did it again. But really, did he? Because if you do follow the sport and you follow the UFC, the three fights on the card are three good fights. You got Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns, Volkanovski versus Holloway, and then you have Aldo and Petr Yan. Three good fights. I'm not going to sit up here like I did yesterday and bash those three fights, but I don't know. I want to see the big names. I want to see the big names fight. You know, all the big names in the UFC are pretty much retired right now. Henry Cejudo's gone. John Jones is threatening to be gone. Conor McGregor's threatening to be gone. Masvidal threatening to be gone. I mean, there's so many guys that just, they want the pay money. I mean, they want the payday. They want the big money. We'll see, man. Like, they just booked DC versus Stipe as well. That's not on the island. Thank fucking God. Stipe probably said, what are you, fucking nuts? I'm not going in the middle of Dubai to go fight. Why? When I can just fight in Vegas. Makes no sense. The island idea is asinine. People will tell me it's for international fighters and stuff. I get that. I get it makes it a little bit easier for people to travel, but you just can't tell me the UFC can't figure out a way to get, like, a plane somewhere for one of their fighters, no matter where they are. I don't care if they're in fucking Dagestan, where Khabib lives. They can get a flight there into Vegas. They're worth billions of dollars. They have their own planes, don't they? Get the UFC, just fucking fly. I'm being dead serious, too. Isn't there, like, private jets that, like, are allowed? I've seen, I mean, there's people are flying. You can fly JetBlue. What are we talking about? International flights are a problem. Give me a break. Oh, Uncle Dana had an idea in his head. And it backfired. Instead of saying, hey, I was an idiot, he said, I'm going to double down. We're having these fights on this stupid island. Like, what is so cool about this fucking island once you're inside the arena? I get for, like, the, I don't know, a couple hundred people that are fighting or families of the fighters or staff of the UFC, it's cool because you're in, like, Bermuda or Dubai, wherever the fuck it is. But you can't tell me it's going to make any difference when you're watching the fight. Like, it's an octagon with limited people surrounding it, with two guys trying to beat the shit out of each other. It just makes no fucking sense. The whole thing. I'm baffled by it. Absolutely baffled by it. And I can't believe that the UFC allowed this to be a thing. Like, I understand it during the corona, during the COVID and whatnot. Like, that makes sense. It makes total sense. Hold on, I'm getting a phone call. Hey, you're live on the podcast. I just told you I was taping the podcast. I literally just had this conversation with you. Okay. So, yeah, that's how that went. That was Jess. I just talked to her 10 minutes before I started recording this. I said, hey, I'm going to record the podcast. Don't call me. Whatever you do. And I have three missed calls. I've heard my phone vibrating over and over again. Probably I'm going to have to re-record this due to that. But the UFC, just not the three fights that the fans necessarily wanted. Three good fights, you know, cool, you're making it happen on the island. I was wrong. Again, I was so wrong about the island. I want to make that clear. But you just can't tell me these are the three fights the fans truly want. I guess the Aldo-Yan fight makes the most sense, but And then you do have to give Max the rematch, so I get that. But the Burns, Usman, just, ugh. absolute trash. You can't convince me otherwise. And someone will say, well, Tyron Woodley was the number one contender. So he has to get the next shot. Well, Tyron Woodley, if he's the number one contender, he should have fought Usman. If you're going by that logic. I heard someone say that. I was like, well, no. The number one contender is not guaranteed a title shot. Like, that's not real. It's not the WWE. They pick who they want to put up. It's by matchups, right? I mean, I think we all agree on that. So, moving on, because I'm done with the UFC. Until they give me a Conor McGregor Masvidal fight, something to talk about, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to tell you guys about the fights anymore unless something really crazy happens or something like that. I'm done. I'm done with the UFC. I'm moving on. I actually read this story today and I thought it was fucking crazy because it hit home right in my backyard. Torrey Hunter is a center fielder. He plays baseball. He played all around the league. I think he was, his best years, he was on the Minnesota Twins. He had a controversy a few years ago where I think he was one of the guys that said Boston fans were racist. Well, he got asked, I think, a question, or he was doing an interview recently where he said every contract he ever had had a no-trade clause specifically to the Red Sox. I thought that was fucking crazy. Now, I'm not saying I don't believe him, because I do believe him if he's having it in his contract. Like, I don't think, maybe the guy would lie about some things to make himself look better publicly, or maybe he said something and he just kind of doubled down on it because he didn't want to admit he was wrong. That happens all the time with people. But to have it in your contract, like, I fully believe this guy clearly was getting, he must have been getting slurs thrown at him every time he fucking went to Fenway. Or, enough to make him feel like he never wanted to play there. I mean, what else could it be? I just thought that story was crazy. Like, I know people all the time give Boston a really unfair rap for being racist. I do not think Boston is a racist city. I don't. I'm sure there's a lot of racists in Boston, but there's also a fuck ton of people in Boston. There's so many good people in Boston. Let's not pretend like it's like strictly racist. It's one of the most liberal cities in the fucking country. Like, look at all the colleges there and all the college students there and shit like that. Like, it's not all just racist kids from like the suburbs of Boston. I don't know. I can't ignore the fact that Torrey Hunter clearly had felt it is. You know what I mean? I'm a white guy, so I wouldn't know, I guess. I'm not going to speak on his behalf and just act like shit doesn't happen to him, because clearly it does. If it's in his fucking contract, I mean, what else can we say? I don't think Boston's a racist city, but Torrey Hunter clearly feels differently, and he's got some evidence to back it up. Like, it's not like he just said, I never want to play for the Red Sox. No, no. He had it in his fucking contract. Every team he played for couldn't trade him to the Red Sox. I don't know. I couldn't really grasp that. I was like, wait, wow. But to me, again, like, I've been to a million games, Patriots games, Celtics, Red Sox, Bruins, all of it, college football. I have never once heard someone yell a racial slur. Not once. Again, maybe I was sitting in the right section. I had good people around me. I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't happen. But, like, I've never even heard it. And I think if I did, somebody would say something. And if not, I feel like I would be obligated to at least tell a security guard, hey, man, this guy's, like, saying the N-word up here. Like, well, what the fuck's he doing? Because at this point, it gives everybody in the fucking section a bad rap. If you're not saying anything, and you're, going hunky-dory, you kind of look like an asshole yourself. And again, I'm not, like, some social justice warrior. Come on. I feel like if somebody was dropping racial slurs at a ball game that I was at, I would notice. Clearly, it happened to Torrey Hunter. Enough to make him never want to be traded to Boston. And have it, contractually obligated for him to never be traded to Boston. It's kind of crazy. I thought it was a really crazy story. And like the Red Sox, they pander more than anybody. But like, I'm not going to pretend the Red Sox are racist. They're not. The faces of their franchise for a decade and a half, Ortiz, he's a Dominican guy. I don't like painting the entire organization or the entire city of Boston racist because one guy, you know, he had a bad experience here. Now, granted, that bad experience can't happen. It cannot happen. You can't, I don't care who you are, dude. If you hear that, you got to say something. You got to tell a security guard or you got to handle it yourself. But I've never seen it. I've never heard it. And I would feel like it would just be so flagrant to me where I would have to say something. And I feel like most people listening to this would pretty much agree. I don't know. Have you, let me know. Hit me with some feedback. Has anybody ever heard like a racial slur yelled at a pro sports game that they were at? I'd really love to know. Maybe when you're older, and Torrey Hunter's a lot older than me, so maybe when he was younger, like in the early 2000s, it happened to him at like Fenway. Sure, I believe him. But like this notion that like nowadays people are going around Fenway dropping like the N-bomb and Boston Red Sox are racist and the whole city's racist. Like, come on. No. That's way too big of a leap for me. Maybe they got more bad apples than other places. Maybe, yeah, sure. They got more bad apples than Milwaukee or some random city. Sure. Sure we do. But let's not pretend like the entire city's racist because one guy didn't want to play here or a couple fans were fucking idiot, bigot assholes. You know? I don't know. I just don't like to generalize shit like that. But in other news, we got to get to the Barstool drama. My guy, Kirk Minahan. I've been following Kirk since his EEI days when he was like a weekend host in the very beginning. For those of you who don't know or listening to this, I love some sports radio, especially when I was a kid. That's like all I listened to in the car. I didn't bump the aux cord. I did not fuck with the aux cord when I was in high school. All I was listening to was sports radio or like jamming 94.5 or 99.9 The Q, some shit like that. But Kirk was hands down my favorite. He's always been my favorite sports radio guy ever, and he really wasn't a sports radio guy. He was a personality on a sports radio show, and he basically transformed it into his own show and carried them and got them huge ratings, and he's the king of Boston sports radio, or was, for a little while. And now, dude, he's over at Barstool, and you'd think that it would just be a great relationship. You know, a guy who's not afraid to say anything, a company that, you know, is known for being edgy and stuff, but I don't know, man. The way it looks, it's not a perfect relationship because the editor there, Kay Marco, approved a hit piece on Kirk. Basically, this guy who named Zonker, or I don't know if it's one guy or a group of people who write for Zonker, but Barstool has been publishing some of their articles lately, and along with a lot of other people kind of freelance writing, trying to get a name for themselves. If they think it's good content, they'll post it. And this guy broke down Kirk's like live stream and just wrote some shit that was so out of context, man. The blog got deleted right away, but thank God I saw some of the screenshots on like Reddit. It was basically the five worst things Kirk said during his live stream. I'm not joking either. That was like the entire thing. It was a breakdown of the stupid shit Kirk said. And not like stupid as like funny stupid, like stupid as like really insensitive. And if you're an advertiser reading it on Barstool and you're thinking about advertising with the Kirk Minahan show, how would you feel? I mean, right? You're like, wait, this guy works for this company and they're bashing him? Like, what is going on? So it's a legitimate gripe. I'm not doing a great job telling the whole story, so I'm going to bring my brother Al on, who is the biggest Minifan in the world. Honest to God, the guy wants to just... He'd sleep with Minahan if he could. He would sleep with Kirk if he absolutely could. But I'm going to give him a call, and he's going to kind of give us the rundown and their perspective of this whole thing, because he's tied into that Minifan world. All right, Al, what's going on, man? I already introduced what's kind of happening. You are tied into the Minifans much more than I am. Why don't you give us the lowdown on what's going on in the world?
Mick, it's fucking bullshit. So Kirk's obviously at Barstool right now. the editor at Barstool, K Marco, some fucking shitbag that's been there forever, he decided to green light literally a hit piece. Like, no other way to describe
right,
it.
Right, yeah. And who was it by, though? Like, I don't even know who this Zonker guy is.
I guess if you're some old Barstool fan, you know who he is. I guess he, like, used to own the domain name of Barstool.com.
Oh, so he used to own it. He doesn't own it now?
I don't know. I'm not sure if he still owns it or whatever, but he used to try and buy it off him, blah, 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 way back in the day. But then all of a sudden, like, he pops up on one of the Minifan YouTube shows, like one of the fucking shows or whatever. So he's kind of, like, back in the Barstool world a little bit.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, he, like, I don't know, I guess he turned on Kirk and was sending Steve all these emails and stuff like that. And the next thing you know,
Saying what, though?
Saying, like, how they're, the usual crap that Kirk gets accused of. Racism, okay.
Yep.
Being one-sided,
yep.
You know, all that crap.
Okay.
So then, next thing you know, this guy decides to write a hit piece, literally no other way to describe it. Like I said, a hit piece, he's making out clips, taking them out of context, blah, 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 blah. And it somehow makes it up on the website.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. That's the craziest part in all of this, right?
So, and what the craziest part is, I think Portnoy even said it directly, is that's the most political thing that has ever been put up on Barstool.
Yeah, I read some of the screenshots. It was a breakdown of...
Which is insane.
It was crazy. Insane. It was absolutely crazy. And, like, go ahead.
So, the Minahan show is not allowed to post without getting approval from K Marco. Like, so they've had blogs spiked in the past and stuff like that. They wrote something about Trenny, the Boston...
Trenny Kuznarek, yep.
Lady. Yes, exactly.
And then they wrote something about Trump Jr. too, right?
Wrote something about Trump Jr. Spiked. Too
crazy.
Political.
Crazy.
Yeah, had Andrew Dice Clay on, the comedian. He was, made a joke about Michael Jackson. Spiked. Wouldn't put it on the website.
And then this gets through.
A guy who works for the company was accused of being a racist, and they put the piece on the front page.
Makes absolutely no sense.
The only thing you can say is the guy hates Kirk.
All right, clearly
wants him fired.
So he goes on Kirk's show today, K Marco, the editor who approved the piece. And what's his defense? Because I was listening to it before I called you, and I kind of skimmed through it.
He sounded literally like a slug.
Explain his reasoning and why is he so monotone? He sounds like he's literally been like being tortured because he's so depressed and his voice was so low.
Literally no defense for it.
Like, oh my god!
He admitted that he fucked up. He admitted that he was in a dick measuring contest at points with the show. And it was speechless.
How does he have a job? How do you have a job? Like,
that's what he said. Like, Portnoy said if he wasn't with the company so long, he would have been fired. So I guess if you work for Barstool for X amount of years, you can just fuck up and it's fine.
Yeah, but like, I think fucking up would be approving something that gets whatever. This wasn't a fuck up. This was a plotted thing.
Right.
A fuck up is like clicking a button that you didn't mean to.
And it wasn't like a joke piece.
No, I know. I read it.
A paragraph, dude. It was like a solid 10
right.
minute read.
I was explaining before. I called you. Like, it's like him. It's breaking down what he said about like Ferguson and being very literal about shit.
Yes,
and like,
exactly.
Like, it's just like shit that you could say about anybody's podcast. Like, you could take some of the words that I've said.
Right.
And if you wrote them, it would sound so, it would read so much worse than what I'm trying to say. And like, obviously Kirk is the king of satire. So he uses satire half the fucking time. I just can't believe that it got on the site. So what's K Marco do? Is he still the editor, and does he still have to approve posts from them? Like, do they still have to go through this fucking guy?
Apparently they're going to have a new editor from now on.
For the entire site or just Kirk?
No, just Kirk.
So
just
that's hysterical. That's wicked funny.
Yeah, he demanded that he gets a new editor.
Wow.
The Minifans, I don't know if you heard the parody song about them.
I did. I heard it just on that intro. Yeah. It's like the Beach Boys song or something
it's
wicked
exactly.
funny. That's wicked funny. very good. Yeah, you got anything else on your mind other than the Minifan world? Because you're more tied in than us. Go ahead.
You want to tell the people about my fishing skills versus your fishing skills?
I don't think you have good fishing skills. I think Nicole has good fishing skills, dude.
My rod has been on fire, yes or no?
As of late, you've been hot. I'd say you've been hot.
On fire.
You've been hot. On fire is a stretch, dude. On fire is a stretch. On fire. You act like you're Charlie Moore. You act like you're Charlie Moore.
8 fish in a day.
Yeah, using shiners probably. Was it that day?
No, it was not, Mick.
Wow.
The day you caught a big stink egg.
Yeah, no, I caught nothing that day. We've been fishing lately.
How many fish you caught this year, Mick?
Two or three. I don't know if it's two or three, but two or three. I'm up there. Listen, I haven't got out that much.
Three is generous.
Yeah, but I've caught generous. Two bass. You've caught a ton of pickerel and little shit like that.
Oh, man,
I catch bass.
Double no. digits easy.
No, come on. You're out of your mind. Yeah, very good. Very good, Al. Thanks for filling in. And we will, anything Barstool and Kirk related, we're going to have to call you for because I haven't been listening to the show that much lately.
You coming to the show in Saco?
They're doing a show in Saco, Maine on the river?
It's at the drive-in and they're like broadcasting. Oh
my God, yeah. When? When's that?
I think it's like July 25th. We got a few tickets. Like it's per car, so we got a couple carloads of people. So.
Oh, definitely. Who you got? Like, you and Sam?
Yeah, Core's going, Zink's going. I don't know. Yeah, we're going to see who else wants to go.
What day of the week's it on?
I don't know. I want to say it's a Friday.
All right, yeah. I'll try and get work off, and I'm down to go.
Yeah, I'll double check the week, but I think it's the 25th.
Yep. I was back to work today.
Oh, no shit. The skipper was back?
Skipper was back.
You guys
I was
serving people?
Waiting tables.
No.
Al, slammed.
No.
I walked away. It was over $200 lunch.
Was it fucking half capacity bullshit?
Yeah, like on our deck, we usually have like, I think it's like almost 20 tables or something like that usually, and we had like 12 maybe. You know, it's about half. Maybe that math's wrong, but it was
anybody
about that.
Inside?
No, nothing inside, all to go. No bartender. Like, the bartender was just making drinks for the servers. Yep. So, like, servers who were up on the deck today made out like a fucking bank. It was great.
Were you wearing a mask while serving?
Yeah, and gloves. It was fucking terrible.
And gloves?
Yeah, I think I watched our bartender, Gary, drop three glasses just trying to get them out of the dishwasher with gloves on. It was hysterical.
Yeah. Do customers have to fucking wear a mask?
No, that's what I was kind of wondering too, and that was what was dicey. A couple people asked me, they were like, do I have to wear this? And I was like, no, oh my God, no, you don't have to do anything. And so like they just saw us wearing them, and they kind of felt obligated to keep wearing theirs on. But no, once people saw other people not wearing them, nobody was wearing it. You can't wear a mask when you fucking eat and drink a beer. What are you doing?
No, I know that. I didn't know if like once you got your food or something, you could take it off or some stupid bullshit like that.
But. Yeah. No, I feel you.
You seen the guy in Vegas smoking the cigarette up the
hysterical.
Side of
the mask? Hysterical. Hysterical. I'm so happy Vegas right is there. Back into it. That's
literally,
wicked.
That's the definition of Vegas.
Wicked funny. I had a blackjack dealer at one of the tables I was waiting on today, and he left me like a 50% tip. He like almost, you know, half the bill. It was nuts.
Wow.
I was like, dude, thanks so much. And he came out and he's like, oh, I work at MGM. I'm a blackjack dealer. I haven't been able to work either. Like, I know what it's like. I was like, oh, shit, man. So people are being super chill. Like, we weren't like crazy busy. But people were like over tipping and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was really nice. But yeah, man, back to work. The hiatus is over. And you guys think that the podcast is going to take a hit and everything. And that's why I'm doing this. I just came from a shift. I am hopping right on the microphone, baby. We are not taking a hit 3 days a week. And Beyond Average is our fourth show. We're ready.
Speaking of Beyond Average, I just got to say it. Man,
oh.
Can you be a podcast host without a Twitter account?
Wow.
I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it.
At Christian. You got to add him next time. Oh, my God. What? Yeah. Well, dude, he doesn't want to be on Twitter. He's not. He said it wasn't for him. He was getting sick of the bullshit. I don't think Twitter's the biggest deal because he's still informed on shit.
But it's kind of like what you follow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like that's I do know what you mean because even if I do follow a lot of stupid-ass people and when they tweet stupid-ass shit, I just kind of laugh at it. I literally laugh at it. He was getting to the point where he was getting rabbit holed and it was bothering him. So I said, dude, if it's bothering you, you should definitely stop. I agree.
Oh,
and it's good.
Man.
He's going to be back. He's going to be back. He's definitely going to be back.
How long do you give it?
I think he's back before the end of the summer. I think once football and shit gets going, like, you know, right around
it's
NFL preseason.
When gambling's going on.
Dude, yeah.
Like that,
and like the
Twitter,
actually,
fantasy,
yo.
Football going on,
yeah, yeah. Scratch what I'm saying. I'm saying by his birthday, he's back on Twitter. I can guarantee it.
Right when the NBA.
Yeah, that's
back,
what I'm saying, dude. You telling me he's not going to be on
gambling?
Yeah.
As soon as gambling starts and all that, Twitter is 100% back in Christian's life.
I agree. All right. Well, it's good talking to you. I'll talk to you later. All right.
Later.
Peace. All right. Sorry if Al kind of repeated some of the stuff there that we went over with K Marco and the Barstool Kirk drama, but. He's the expert, man. That dude is tied into the Minifans. I'm not even joking. He listens to every show, every minute. Like I said, I was a big Kirk guy before, but this dude takes it to another level. He's got the Kirk pajamas. He's got the blind mic, bed sheets, the Steve Robinson hot dog buns. He's all into it. If you don't know, those are the guys that work on the show, either or. This is podcast been long enough. Listen, I know that I'm going to have to make these longer at some point. I'm trying to get about a half hour each show. It's just tough, man. There's not a whole lot going on, and I don't want to just ramble about a bunch of bullshit. I try to bring topics on here that I know somewhat that I'm talking about and can offer insight that you know, that might not be expert opinion, but informed opinion, somewhat informed opinion, we'll call it. But, you know, we're here 3 days a week. Catch it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the WAG. And I will see you fuckers on Friday. Second Friday edition, and I promise you, you're going to like this one.